All right, and I noticed there was a lot of trips out there to the foyer, so I think there was a lot of dessert action taking place. All right, again, so good to have you all here. Again, so excited about having Brother Baker here. He's been such a good friend for all the years. Got a chance to go out and play a little pickleball. He's a good pickleball player. My goodness. He just kind of gave us a little clinic is what he did. He did a great job, but we had a good time together. And so tonight, brother, it's all yours.
Thank you.
He asked, oh, yes. He said, should I come in a suit tonight? It is international. Or, you know, I said, no, just come as an authentic Hawaiian. It's, you know, it's international potluck night, so that's what we've got. I love it. All right.
All right. Hey, thank you. I appreciate you. Thank you. I love your pastor. Such a good friend. And we've competed in sports ever since I was in high school. And now I'm finally getting to a point where I can finally beat him in something. And so, yeah, it only took 30 years, so he's a dear friend. All right, how are we sounding tonight? Are we sounding okay? Is it bouncing off or anything like that? Does it sound a little funky? All right, can you turn me down just a little bit? Yeah. All right, this is the slot where people are still chewing their cud, starting to fall asleep, wondering when we're going home. And that's fine. All right. Hey, you're right. Fire me up a little bit. It's good to be with you tonight. Thank you for, I'm going to move this up right there. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your love that you've extended to me and my family. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for the gift basket, the gift cards. Already started to tap into those. My gift basket was this tote, and I've never gotten a gift basket the size of a tote. And I thought, oh, am I going to have some stuff to bring home to my boys? They're going to really like this. I've already gotten through a third of that with a slight cold. And, you know, I've stayed away from the super sugary things. But thank you for all of that. It's thoughtful. And I know when you're putting those things together, you're thinking about us. And sometimes the mission field can be a little lonely. Sometimes you feel isolated, like you're out on an island.
Poor baby.
I'm certainly not complaining. It is nice to be loved. It's nice to be prayed for. It's nice to come to a church where they love missions. And love missionaries, love the Lord. Appreciate your singing tonight and throughout this week. It's been good to get to know different individuals. And some of you here are new, and so thank you for that. All right, let me get my glasses out. I might be drinking a little bit of tea throughout the sermon this evening. Hey, we're not going to be long, but we're going to be very boom, okay? All right, here we go. Go ahead. You got your Bibles? And I know you know, you might get some food on them, and so just clear the food away for just a second, get your Bibles out. And let's turn over here to 1 John chapter number 4. 1 John chapter number 4. Tonight I want to talk to you about the motivation of missions. The motivation of missions, or the motivation of missionaries, okay? And I'm going to read this verse to you, and then I'm going to give you two things. Two things that are apart from our motivation, or not the right motivation, and then we'll get into this. I'm going to give you a story or two, and we're going to sing a song as a congregation that's going to be a cappella, and then we'll go home. 1 John chapter 4, look at verse number 10. This was on my wife and I's wedding announcement. This verse number 10. Herein is what? What's the next word?
Love.
Herein is love, the definition of love. Not that we loved what? God, but that he loved what? Us. Isn't that amazing? And how was that love expressed? And he sent his son to be the propitiation, the atonement for our sins. That's love. And Christ expressed that to us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The motivation for missions, the motivation for a Christian life, the motivation to serve, all things that we do, We do it because he loved us. And tonight I want to talk to you a little bit about that. The first thing I want to hit on, though, is this. If you're taking notes, write this down. Missions, minefields. Missions, minefields. So some minefields. The Bible says, you know this verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have what? So we know that God loved the world, and it was expressed through his son by sending him to die on the cross to pay the penalty for their sins. But the minefield is this: when we're more motivated by what the world thinks of us or what others think of us, and it hinders us to do the work of a missionary. Brother Wolski was talking about how we're all missionaries in that sense. We've been given the ministry of reconciliation. We've been given this title of ambassadors for Christ. So what prohibits us from fulfilling that role? When our love wanes, when our love goes towards the world. Well, God loved the world. No, he sent his son to die for the world. But what happens sometimes, we get overcome by what the world thinks of us or what our friends might think of us or others think of us. And as we're witnessing to people, those things are crossing our mind. What are they going to say? How are they going to look? How are they going to respond? I'm a little nervous. What if I don't have the answer? When we become more concerned about what others think, then we cannot do the work of a missionary. We got to separate our work for Christ and our love for him. It's got to motivate us beyond what other people think about us. I like people liking me. But at the end of the day, I mean, God does put a love in my heart for people. But even if I don't love them like I ought to, even if I don't care for their personality or I'm tired of them, I still need to be a missions-minded person towards them. I need to give them the gospel. Let me give you an example. Jonah in the whale, right? Jonah was asked to go where? Nineveh. You think he loved those people? No, he did not. He despised them. He knew what the history there was. And so God said go, he said no. And so do all of us. Witness to this person. Be a testimony there. Do something there. And we're like, thank you, but no thank you. I don't really like that person. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter your love towards other people or lack of it. What motivates us is our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to be obedient. Jonah said, he should have said, yes, I'll go. I don't want to go. I don't like those people. But because I love you and you love them, I will go. It's sometimes hard to love Hawaiian people. Sometimes it's hard to love people, period. But I don't do it because I love them. I do it because I love him. Amen. All right, so landfills that we might come across is our heart wanes towards the things of this world. We get consumed by the things of this world. We care what the world thinks about us. I play pickleball, as you heard from Pastor Garcia. And I'm in a very large group, and I compete in big tournaments, and I've been, you know, been fairly successful at these things. And so I get asked to speak, and I represent a couple of companies. I get sponsored, and so I'm asked to go and put things on social media. I'm asked to put my name there and then give people discounts and all that kind of thing. And it's so easy to get wrapped up in that identity. Pickleball, come on. Come on. I'm much greater than that, not me, but the title that God has given me. I'm an ambassador for Jesus Christ, not aloha ball. Amen? I am ambassador for them too, but I am more, right? I need to be more concerned about representing Jesus Christ. Amen? The landfills. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, I'm going to read a bunch of verses to you tonight. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10 says this, Paul speaking, for Demas hath forsaken me having loved this present world, and has departed unto Thessalonica. So there's plenty of minefields. I can go on. I have a list of 15. I'm going to just give you that tonight, okay? Number two, missions misunderstandings. Missions misunderstandings. The Bible tells us that Jesus came to save sinners, to save souls. Now you say, of course, that's obvious. Yeah, but what I see sometimes is that missionaries, you, me, sometimes you can get more concerned about saving people's lives than their souls. I live in the city of Kona, just outside of Kona. We have what's called a YWAM base there. YWAM is an acronym for Youth with a Mission. They have some very good things that they do, very charismatic group, and they go all over the world. They're in the Philippines. They're all over the world. But if they have a base there, it's a national base. It's a world base. And so they got thousands of young people, ages 18 to whatever, on up. Thousands of them come through every so often. They get trained, and then they go out to a various area, and they're there for 2 or 3 months. They call it DTS, and then they work with people, and they disciple people. They try to lead people to Christ, and they lay hands on people. They heal people. They all this kind of stuff. And I was talking to a girl the other day about what they've got planned, and it was all humanitarian aid. And I'm all for helping people. I mean, I told you earlier, I witness to people not because I love them, but because I love Christ. But I will say that God has put in my heart a love for people. He has. And so my heart does go out to people. I want to help them. And I can physically do a lot of things for people. But at the end of the day, folks, the end of the day, if they die happy, but they die without Christ, they still die and go to hell. And so the Bible says that Jesus Christ came to save sinners, not to necessarily make men's lives easier. And that's sometimes something that people get off on. I'm gonna do this for them, do this for them, and hopefully my lifestyle and my actions will bring them to Christ. And it might be a first step, but it's not the last step. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. At some point, we got to get to that subject of your sin. It's easy to talk about everything else. I've had a lot of great conversations with people, but then you get to the heart of it, and it's like the whole thing changes. We begin to deal with the sin. But that's why Jesus Christ came. And until that issue is dealt with, they can never be saved. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So there are minefields and there's misunderstandings when it comes to missions, and I could give you a plethora of ideas along those lines. But I want to really just focus tonight on our motivation as we serve Christ and as we are missionaries locally here, and we reach out to try to make a difference in winning people to Christ. What is our motivation? And of course, it's His love for us. You know, in the Old Testament, a lot of Israelites were motivated to serve the Lord because there was an earthly blessing associated with obedience. And you read about that throughout, and I'll give you an example in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 13 through 17. But what drives a Christian, what drives you and me to serve the Lord, to love others, to love Him, to win souls, our greatest motivation is not duty. Our greatest motivation is not fear. Our greatest motivation is not personal gain. It's our love for Jesus Christ. It's our love for Him. And that love, of course, was displayed on the cross some 2,000 years ago. We were just talking about the other day, right? Easter service. And He gave Himself for us. And that compels us to respond to that type of a love. Respond in such a way that He is glorified. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, the love of Christ constraineth us. And I think Brother Wolski was talking about that a little bit last night. When we grasp a hold of that the depth of that truth, that Christ loves me. He loves me. And it's demonstrated. There's no doubt. It ought to motivate us. It ought to compel us. It ought to challenge us. It gets us out of our shell. It gets us out of our comfort zone. It eliminates every excuse. What I'm going to do is because I love him. And that's because he first loved me. The Bible says here in 1 John 4:10, herein is love, not that we loved him, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. I'm going to sing a song, but I'm not going to sing it alone. How many of you know the song, Oh, How He Loves You and Me? Raise your hand up. Oh, yeah, you guys know this. And how many of you can sing harmony? Oh, great. So let me get a little tea. Ah. I just like us to sing that song together, okay? All right, here we go. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. What more could he give? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you. Now you got it. We're going to sing it one more time, right? Here we go. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. What more could he give? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Isn't that a wonderful truth, folks? Amen. Amen. And because he loved us, we love him. The Bible says in 1 John 4:19, we love him, you finish it with me, because he first loved us. How many of you here tonight are familiar with George Mueller? George Mueller, yeah. Obviously, he's a great man of faith. And he's an example of a man that served with the right motivation. He lived between 1805 to 1898. And he was a man known for his deep faith and unwavering trust in the Lord. In the early 19th century, he saw the suffering of orphan children in England. And he felt compelled to help. However, unlike many philanthropists of his time, Mueller did not seek personal recognition, wealth, status. Instead, his motivation was purely his love for Christ and a desire to demonstrate God's faithfulness. You ever see those people that they're donating something and they got a check that's like 5 feet tall and 20 feet long? It's like, hey, $1,000, here you go. It's like, come on, man. Not George Mueller. He established an orphanage that cared for over 10,000 children during his lifetime. Could you imagine? That's a lot of mouths to feed. Remarkably, he never asked for donations or financial support. He simply prayed and trusted that God would provide. Time and time again, food and resources arrived just when they were needed. A testament to God's provision. His life really reflected Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, where it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Mueller's motivation was not personal gain, but a deep conviction that serving others was a way to glorify God and live out Christ's love. His service for the Lord remains an inspiration to us today, showing that, listen, when our motivation is rooted in Christ's love, our work has eternal impact. And I'll tell you what, the older I get, the more I'm looking to putting some things up there in heaven. The more real that's becoming. And when we go out and we speak to people about Christ, our motivation is our love for him. Listen, he blesses that. He honors that. He gives you his power, his presence when you do that. And I'll tell you what, lives can get changed because of it as well. There's a man, his name is Joseph Sinclair. He's the first man that I led to the Lord in Hawaii. Joseph Sinclair was sitting out in the front of our church building in a truck. Of course, just had a pair of pants on, nothing, or a pair of shorts on, nothing else, completely tatted out. And I'm waiting for something, probably my wife. I don't remember, but I'm sure it was waiting for Sarah. And so I'm waiting there, and I crawl up in his truck, and I said, "Hey, what's your name?" He said, "Joseph." I begin to talk to Joseph, and I'm going to make this long story a short story. I begin to hear about his story. And so let me tell you about what Joseph was about to do. Joseph's, well, we won't call her a wife, but a lot of this happens a lot in Hawaii. They don't marry. They're together, right? And they call each other husband and wife. And that was this situation. He had four children by her. He had rescued this girl when he was 21 and she was 15 over on Waikiki Beach. She was strung out on drugs. And he took her in to his family and they started living together. And he got her off of drugs. Fast forward about 7 years later, she's in her early 20s. Got four kids by her. Some punk come along, found her attractive. She rejected him. And so what he did is he devised a plan to get her. The way he's going to get her, give her some drugs. And he gave her some drugs, and she took them, and she got hooked. Months turned into more months. Eventually, Joseph noticed this distance between him and her. And he's like, "What is going on?" And it all came out. This punk was wooing her to him. And now she's living with him half the time, with Joseph half the time, shooting up, doing drugs. And he had some stuff in the truck. He knew she was going to a birthday party where this punk was at. And he's not little. He's big. And he's like 28 years old. And he had made a club. And we have them all over there. They're used to hit tuna. When you reel up a tuna next to the boat, you can kill them by smashing the top of their head. And so what it is it's a hardwood, and you drill out the center of it, and you fill it with lead. And that's just what he did. This one was not for a tuna. He was going to find this man at the birthday party. He had already told the men that were going to be there what his plan was. They were going to be behind it. They had a place to dispose of the body. There was even a couple police officers there that were going to make sure that things were handled. So he's telling me this plan. This was going to be his strategy to get his wife back and get that guy out of her life. And so I begin, I'm sorry, I'm going to get a little emotional because so I begin to tell Joseph about Jesus. He says, I know about him. But I begin to tell him how much the Lord loves him. And he died for him. And just gave him the gospel. And you could just start to see his eyes just watering up. And the truth that somebody loves him. He says, "Why would you even take time to even talk to me?" And he said, "You don't even know me." I said, "Yeah, but I love him, and he loves you, and I'm here to give you this message." Well, Joseph didn't get saved at that moment, but 2 weeks later, he came to church, and he got saved. And him, along with about 10, 15 other guys, oh, man, there's no way I can show you the picture of our baptismal service. A little immodest, to say the least. Our first baptismal service. I had forgotten to tell them that, hey, there's a certain dress code when we go down to the beach. They all thought, you know, we're going to have a party afterwards, you know. And they did. It was wonderful. One of the guys that got baptized there, his name is Josh Ham. And I won't go into all his details, but he was a motorcycle guy with the Hells Angels on Oahu and transferred to the Big Island. And he made a ton of money, and one full year, all he did was he was high on cocaine every day, full year. And he had everything he ever wanted. He still felt empty down inside. Joseph knew Josh. He says, you know, I felt that same way too. And Pastor Baker came and talked to me. And I said, can I bring him to you? And he said, sure. So I met Josh at a shop. And I witnessed to Josh. And right there, he got saved. I'll say there are moments and there are times when I don't feel like witnessing. I don't feel like speaking up. I got a family to take care of and love and whatever else, you know? But this is why God has sent me to Hawaii, to be a witness over there, to impart my life and to share the gospel with people that are there. And I can't think of a better thing in the whole world. And you have that same opportunity here. When our motivation is because we love Him, it gets us beyond how we feel, the other excuses that we might give. And when it comes down to it, we do what we do because we love Him. And why do we love Him? Because He first loved us. And so the motivation behind being a missionary, being a witness, living for God, young people, serving the Lord, being a light in your schools, why do we do all that? Man, it's our love for the Lord. And as that grows, our boldness grows. And we begin to realize just how rich this Christian life really is. It's a blessing. It's so nice to be able to walk around knowing we have hope. We have purpose in this life. Beyond politics, amen. Beyond what's going around in our communities, and we have real purpose, real meaning. I'm so thankful to be saved, to have that hope that lies within us. And I just got to remember every once in a while how much He loves me. And then every day I try to take some time and let Him know how much I love Him. And He demonstrated His love for me. And I get every day a chance to demonstrate my love for Him. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I'm so grateful for the opportunity to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die in our place, to pay the penalty for our sin. And then beyond all that, Lord, I can't believe all the blessings that you give us in this life, in the life to come. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You've gone to prepare a mansion for us. I mean, I just, Lord, I don't understand it, but I'm thankful for it. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to make a difference in people's lives through the gospel. And every one of us here, I know we can all give the gospel. We can all be missionaries in Rathdrum and Hayden and Post Falls. Lord, help us to have boldness. Help us not to make the excuses that we tend to fall on. But Lord, help us to be reminded of your great love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Pastor.
Get me on here. Let's go ahead and be in a spirit and an attitude of prayer. I know we're in a dinner setting, but let's just pretend we're in church right now, okay? Because We just heard a message about motivation. And let me say something real quickly before I continue on in that vein of thought. I'd like it to make sure that the atmosphere is just quiet. I know this is a time sometimes when maybe there might be some that want to start gathering some of the plates or some of the things, that I'm going to just say hold off on that. I so appreciate everybody who does the work here. And that ought to motivate us to just help those out, because that's putting them a little bit later out tonight. So if you can hang around and help out. But let me get back. What is our motivation? That verse says, several verses later where he was at in 1 John, in verse 19, I believe, says we love him because he first loved us. Do we love him enough to venture out and talk to others about Christ? Do we, or are we willing to go out of our comfort zone? When we think about, look what you did for me, Lord. I mean, the great God, God who became a human being, I guess we could say he kind of went out of his comfort zone. He left heaven's glory. He who is without sin came to a sinful world on our behalf. And we ought to be willing to get out of our comfort zone and talk to somebody about Christ. And so this is a good time right now. You know, you could come to the altar. You can pray where you're at. If you're here without Christ, this is a great opportunity to get saved. And we would love to show you from God's word how to be saved tonight. I so appreciate this message. What about our motivation? Is our motivation of love? As we fall in love more and more with the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll want to do more and more for him. I think it was C.T. Studd says, his blessed word hallows me on, and it makes me to burn and dare and do for him. He was willing to go places where a lot of people might not have wanted to go because of his love for Christ. The love of Christ constraineth us. So think about that. Let that settle in your minds and in your thoughts. And tonight, I would ask you to just respond to the Lord. Again, there's an opportunity to come to the altar or to pray where you're at. Father, we thank you tonight. Thank you for what we've heard. Thank you for the fellowship we've been able to have. Thank you for the dinner. Thank you for all of the work. But Lord, we're right now focusing on what we've just heard from your word. Lord, you love us. You did something extraordinary. You're willing to come and die for us. And you did. And we thank you, Lord, that you did a work in our hearts. You awakened us. You showed us that we were lost sinners. And for everyone here that knows you, you brought us to yourself. You brought us to Christ. And now you've given us a great commission to go out and be a witness, to tell others about Christ. Would you help us to do that? Help us to take those steps. Maybe to start with a bare minimum of just handing out tracts, laying them somewhere, but maybe taking more and more steps of looking for open doors and allowing you to lay some people on our hearts, or maybe just going to witness to somebody that just, they don't look like somebody you want to witness to. Would you help us, Lord, in that regard? We pray you'll work in hearts. Thank you for working in my heart. We thank you. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.